You have your Bible this morning. We are in Matthew chapter 25. Matthew 25. It's fun for me to sit here and watch things going on, hear Emma sing, and having seen her grow up, and her mom and dad are here, her grandmother is here, her great-grandmother is here, and, Lou Madison is obviously in heaven today, and he used to love to hear her sing, and, you know, he'll get to hear her sing for all eternity, you know? Only Christ offers those things. Nobody else does. So Matthew 25, why don't you stand with me, please? I'm going to read verses 14 through 30, long passage. We'll move right along. Matthew chapter 25 and verse 14 says, "For the kingdom of heaven is as a man traveling into a far country who called his own servants and delivered unto them his goods. And unto one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, to another 1, to every man according to his several ability. And straightway took his journey. Then he that had received 5 talents went and traded with the same and made them other 5 talents. And likewise he that had received 2, he also gained other 2. But he that had received 1 went and digged in the earth and hid his Lord's money. After a long time the Lord of the servants cometh and reckoneth with them. And so he that had received 5 talents came and brought other 5 talents, saying, Lord, thou deliveredst unto me 5 talents. Behold, I have gained beside them 5 talents more. His Lord said unto him, Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. He also had received 2 talents, came and said, Lord, thou deliveredst unto me 2 talents. Behold, I have gained 2 other talents beside them. His Lord said unto him, Well done, good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. Then he which had received the 1 talent came and said, Lord, I knew thee that thou art an hard man, reaping where thou hast not sown and gathering where thou hast not strawed. I was afraid and went and hid thy talent in the earth. Lo, there thou hast that is thine. His Lord answered and said unto him, Thou wicked and slothful servant, thou knowest that I reap where I sowed not and gather where I have not strawed. Thou oughtest therefore to have put my money to the exchangers. Then at my coming I would have had received mine own with usury. Take therefore the talent from him and give it unto him which hath 10 talents. For unto every one that hath shall be given, and he shall have abundance. But from him that hath not shall be taken every even that which he hath. And cast ye unprofitable servant into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Heavenly Father, I pray this morning that as we revisit this passage that we were in 2 weeks ago, that you would continue to reveal truth to us. Thank you that we know you as our Savior, that you are our Master. And the truths that we see in this text, I pray that we would apply to our lives. Help us to understand it this morning, in Jesus' name, amen. Thank you. You may be seated. We were here 2 weeks ago before Mother's Day. I rarely come back and recover the same text that I was in previously, but I felt like there was a lot of truth here that I did not cover the first time around, and so I'm not really going to revisit what we said 2 weeks ago. I just want to add to the story, if you will, of what Jesus is conveying or teaching in Matthew chapter 25. Now, this is more of a teaching message than a preaching message. It's a different style for me, but I hope that there will be some truths here that you can take home with you and chew on, if you will. That's really what meditation is chewing over those things that you've heard or thought of, and obviously, hopefully that can take place, if you will. Obviously, the story is told here. Let's just very quickly, if you have your Bible in your lap there and you're in Matthew chapter 25, if you're using a pew Bible, you're on page 1035. And there are some sayings that I want us to say together. The picture, of course, is of Christ having gone away and we know that he's coming back. That's the story that is taking place. In the process, he has 3 servants. He's got 1 with great talent, 1 with medium talent, if you will, and 1 with less talent. He gives up, or he divides up their talents, and the Bible records that he gives them to their several ability. So you all have several abilities. Several abilities. Say that with me. Several abilities. No one is just a one-trick horse. No one is. Everybody has greater ability than we think that we do. God knows what we have. My mother has a sign up in her home that says, I know God won't give me more than I can handle. I just wish that he didn't trust me so much, okay? Now, the reality of it is that God sees way more in you than you see in yourself. And he's going to trust you with your several abilities, and he has done that. This is a done deal. If you know Christ is your personal Savior, the Bible teaches that he has given you talents when you met him as your Savior, and those talents need to be developed. He has gone away. And in our text this morning, we have, in verse number 19 of chapter 25, we have the phrase, after a long time. Say that with me. After a long time. Then in verse number 21, we see, well done. Say that. Well done. Verse 23, well done. Say that. Well done. Now, I love this one, and I emphasized it last time we were in this text. Verse 26, thou wicked and slothful servant. Say that with me. Thou wicked and slothful servant. Now, we can smile when we're saying that because we don't believe that applies to us. All right? And now, hopefully it does not. But the reality of the matter is there will be people that will stand before God that will hear those words. Now, please, please don't let it be anyone in this room. But it happened in the story, and Jesus teaches for a reason. And we ought to be somewhat aware that not everyone that will stand before God will hear the words, well done. That ought to haunt you a little bit. So here we are this morning, and I've got one, two, three, four lessons and two last points. So that's six things, but you'll be encouraged to know it. I only have one page of notes today, so generally that means for a shorter message, you would think. So, number one, let's take a look here at verse number 24, before I make my first point. Then which he had received the one talent came and said, Lord, I knew thee that thou art an hard man, reaping where thou hast not sown and gathering where thou hast not strawed. The slothful servant, I want you to know, did not know his master. I think this is very important to understand because obviously God loves you. You do not have to fear him if you are his child. If you are not his child, the Bible records the wrath of God abideth on you. If you're not in God's family, if you don't know him as your personal Savior, fear God. Fear God. Be afraid. On the other hand, if you know Christ, you've accepted him into your heart, now you're part of God's family. He loves you. John chapter 14 says, I go to prepare a place for you. He has gone away. He is not physically with us. He sent his Holy Spirit back. As he went to heaven, I'll send you the Comforter. That Comforter has come back. He's in the room this morning. We don't have church without the Holy Spirit. We're not interested in that. If God's not here, let's just close the doors and go home. We only want to meet where he is. The Bible says, where two or three are gathered together, there am I in the midst. So in this room this morning, God is here with us. The Bible tells us that we can quench the Spirit of God. There could be someone sitting here this morning that's mad at God, doesn't want to listen to God, and you can shut God off. Don't do that, but God gives you the power to do that. Obviously not recommended. The verse 24 describes an individual that did not know God and thought there's no way, there's nothing he can do to make God happy because he's just one tough individual that I'll never be able to crack. That is not who God is. John 14 says, I go to prepare a place for you, and where I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. And of course, we know John 14, 6 is on all our church pens, because we want to emphasize Jesus is the only way. Say that with me. Jesus is the only way. He said, I am the way, the truth, the life. No man comes unto the Father but by me. If you think you're getting to heaven any other way than Jesus Christ, you are dead wrong. It's not going to happen. Now, having said that, what happens is that, sad to say, most people outside of this room and possibly in this room misunderstand God, if I can say that. They don't know who God is. I think it was Tozier or someone, some great preacher, obviously greater than me, said there's five Gospels. Now, we know there's four Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. But he said there's five Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, and the Christian. He said, sad to say, most people won't read the first four. It's interesting, isn't it? You know what, Christian? If a lost world misunderstands God, it's probably our fault. Because they're reading a gospel that's just plain wrong because you and I are not living it correctly. Think about that. So here we are. We've got three servants. One of them did not know his master. But there's some principles being taught here on stewardship this morning, and I want to give them to you. If you're taking notes, number one, all we have is from the Lord. All we have is from the Lord. Look at, with me at verse number 15 in our text. And unto one he gave five talents, to another two, or to another one, every man according to his several ability. You notice the master doesn't come up to his servant and say, okay, show me what you got. That wasn't the deal. He handed him what he wanted him to have. What that servant had and what he was responsible for accountability for, God had given to him. The master had given it to him. All that you have is from the Lord. I want to show you a principle in the Old Testament. 1 Chronicles, the last part of 1 Chronicles, page 488 if you're using a Pew Bible. 1 Chronicles is chapter 29. Now, in Chronicles, David wanted to build the temple. God told David he could not because he was a man of war. Solomon was going to build the temple. So what David did where he could not build the temple is he started accumulating the wealth for the temple. And so he sets out and he tells the people, we want to gather this and this and this and this. And he's getting all the supplies together so that when he's gone and Solomon gets ready to build the temple, he'll have everything he needs. Okay? And there's something going on in 1 Chronicles 29. What did I say? All we have is from the Lord. All we have is from the Lord. 1 Chronicles 29, in verse number 6, page 488 in your Pew Bible, then the chief of the fathers and the princes of the tribes of Israel and the captains of thousands and hundreds with rulers of the king's work offered willingly. Okay, verse number 9. Then the people rejoiced for that they offered willingly. Verse number 11. David is rejoicing in verse number 10 that everything is coming in well, and he's thanking God for it. And in verse number 11, David says, thine, O Lord, is the greatness and the power and the glory and the victory and the majesty, for all that is in heaven and in earth is thine. All that is in heaven and earth is thine. Thine is the kingdom. Verse number 12, both riches and honor come from thee. Now, at this point, you and I would say, everything's God's, and it's riches and honor come from him. That's great. We would agree with that. If you go down to verse number 14, David says, but who am I? What is my people that we should be able to offer so willingly after this sort? He said, why is it that we can give so much? For all things come of thee, and of thine own have we given them. See what he's saying? He said, Lord, all we did was give back to you. All we did was give you what was yours. You and I have nothing of our own. Everything we have is already the Lord's. It's not ours. Go on to verse number 16. O Lord our God, all this store that we have prepared to build thee in house for thine holy name cometh of thine own hand, and is all thine own. The principle is being taught here, and David recognized, he told the Lord, oh Lord, all we're doing is giving back to you what was already yours in the first place. Wasn't mine. Have it back. Let's say I borrowed Terry's chainsaw. I wouldn't do that. I borrowed a chainsaw when I was a teenager, ran over it with a tractor. I learned my lesson. Obviously, I ended up buying the chainsaw that I didn't want. But anyway, if I borrowed Terry's chainsaw and Terry came to me and said, Stan, I want my chainsaw back, it's his chainsaw. He can have it back. Hopefully it's still sharp. Okay? It's his. Everything you have, the clothes you have on, the money in your wallet, the rake at home leaning on the wall that you just cleaned up the lawn with, I don't care what it is, it's all the Lord's. If he asked for it, he ought to be able to have it. It's on loan to you. It is not yours. Everything I have belongs to the Lord. Number two, growth from what God has given us, our talents, our abilities, our strengths, according to our several ability, growth of that talent, that strength, that resource is expected. What you have, you should be using and doing better with it. James plays the piano here. I think we have one of the finest gospel playing, piano players, Southern gospel, whatever you want to call it. I think we have one of the best ones in the country. I'll say that without reservation. Okay? And our organist isn't bad either, okay? So, having said that, I honestly believe 21 years down the road from when I think he's better than he's ever been. I think George is better than he's ever been. I think those are talents that God has given the ability and he has increased them, okay? I think whatever talent God has given you, God expects you. You know, did you ever, my dad had a lot of sayings growing up. Pete was sharing some sayings this morning. Dad had a lot of them too. One of them was, what you don't use, you lose. Did you ever hear that? You know? What you don't use, you lose. That's a biblical principle from Matthew chapter 25. That's not one of my points, but you could write it down. Growth is expected. Not only is growth expected, growth is rewarded. Then, well done. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of the Lord. Not only are we expected to grow, which is a certain amount of responsibility involved with that, but it's rewarded as well. We can look forward to the benefits. You know, God's going to bless us. He's not going to go, oh man, that's the best you could do. Well, we'll see if you can't try a little harder. He's, wow, that's pretty good. Why don't we give you a little more? He'll bless you with a little more. Old Testament, God says he'll open the windows of heaven, pour out a blessing, and not be able to contain it. The blessings of God are rewarded. And not only that are they expected and rewarded, but they're also waited patiently for. After a long time. Luke 8:15. Jesus is telling the parable of the sower, and there's different seed going out. But finally, in Luke 8:15, he says, but on the good ground are they which in honest and good heart, having heard the word, keep it, and bring forth fruit with patience. Patience. Say that with me. Patience. I won't ask for hands this morning, but if you could honestly say you are a patient person, and I ask you to raise your hand, I bet you there'd not be a whole lot of hands in the room. My hand certainly wouldn't be going up. Someone else said, you know, we were talking to someone this week and said, you know, I brought this on myself. And what's that about? And she said, well, I asked the Lord for patience and here I am. You know, don't pray for patience. Don't do that. You know, God'll give it to you. It's a difficult thing to be patient. It's extremely difficult. It's a lifelong thing. My father, he's not here. He's in North Carolina. Most patient man I've ever met. Now, I don't even closely resemble him. It's just incredible. As a kid, the things that I would do and just my fuse was this long and the pace. What I really needed was a hit right upside the head. And Dad was just so patient with me. And it's unbelievable to me. But patience is something that Christians are not born with. And it doesn't come natural to us. But if God has invested in you and developed you, we sing a song, he's still working on me to make me what I ought to be. You know what? That process never stops. He's still working on you today. God is patient. After a long time, he comes back. He's giving you time. Thank God he does. Boy, we wouldn't stand a chance. All we have belongs to the Lord. Growth and increase is expected, rewarded, and waited patiently for. Number three. Fairness in life is not in the Bible. Fairness in life is not in the Bible. The whole world now, especially the United States, we've got common core, I'm told. You can't separate boys and girls. There's something going on now. If you want, you can have the pink team or the blue team. And how many like pink? Because we don't want to just isolate someone and pick them out, call them boys or girls or whatever it is. We can't have a winner or a loser. We've got to make sure that all of their feelings are. You know what? That's a bunch of hooey. Is that a biblical word? That's crazy. You know what? There are winners and losers in life. You know what? You're going to fail at some things, and your feelings might be hurt. Get over it. Move on. Fairness in the Bible is not taught. What am I saying? There was one guy that had great ability. God gave him 5 talents. The next one, he only gave 2. Oh, what's that about? Where's the other 5? I want mine. And then one guy only got 1. Oh, my word. God does not love me. And then the guy that did nothing with the 1, what happened? Well, he did. You know what? Liberals would say, and I'm just coming off the cuff here on this one. Liberals would say, you didn't give him enough. That's why he failed. Give him more. You know, since the Great Society started, we've given out $22 trillion to try to fight poverty. $22 trillion. I'm not making that number up. That's a fact. It has not worked. Jesus said, the poor you will always have with you. You cannot get rid of poverty. And poverty in America now has got turned into something that we pay people to be. That is wrong. Take it. I got away from my notes. So here we are with one. Yeah, stick to the notes. Here we go. The reality of it is God keeps the score. He chooses. We have to live with it. He loves us. He does not choose wrong. This idea of fairness and equity and all of these things are just a lie right out of the pit of hell to get someone to criticize how God does things. God's in control. See me? All the churches I grew up in, pastors always at the back door shaking hands, going out and all that, and wanting to hear. I don't dare. You know, I'm just thinking, you know, boy, Griffin, you didn't cut it today. So I don't want to hear that stuff. All right. So I isolate myself at the end of the service. Anyway, so they're all shaking hands on the way out. So the pig farmer says to him, he says, you know, preacher, if I had $1 million, I'd give you $500,000 of it. And the pastor looks right at him, and says, you know, yeah, that's good, Floyd. He says, but if you had 6 pigs, would you give me 3? And the pig farmer looks, oh, pastor, you know I have 6 pigs, you know? Well, isn't that the truth? We're so willing to talk about what we would do if we had. How willing are you to do what you will do with what God has given you? That's the question. God's not asking you to give what you don't have. God's asking you for what he's already trusted you with. You know? Say, boy, you know, if I could sing, I'd be singing right up front. I want you to know if I could sing. Well, you know what? If you could sweep, would you clean the church? Huh? What's the difference? Every job is valuable. Every part is important. It takes all kinds to run the ministry. God has given you abilities that he owns, that are his. And he's saying, will you do something for me? Because the day's going to come, after a long time, the master's coming back. That's called the rapture of the church. That's called you dying and leaving this earth and going and standing before him. After a long time, you will give an account. And God is waiting patiently for the resources that he's trusted you with to see what you'll do with them. And for us to sit back stingily and say, well, you know what, nobody else is doing, I don't know why I should. It doesn't matter what anybody else is doing. What matters is what you're doing. Get your eyes off people, center them on the Lord, and say, Lord, I'm going to serve you. Because he wants to use what he's trusted you with, and there will be an accounting. 2 last things. Those are our 4 points. All we have is the Lord's. Growth is expected. Fairness is not taught in the Bible, and God does not ask for what you don't have, but what you do. And then 2 things very quickly about stewardship, and we're done. Stewardship is a faithful job. It is required, moreover, 1 Corinthians 4:2, it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful. Successful? Hardworking? No. Faithful. It's a faithful job. David Gibbs was here 2 or 3 weeks ago. You were here, if you were here on a Sunday night, just a fantastic presentation. Terrific guy. I had never met him before. One of the men in the church picked him up, brought him out here. So I met him right here by the altar. He was getting the tour of the building. And so I won't point out who the guy was. It doesn't matter. And he said, well, he said, this is our pastor. And he said, and we came up on the stage and we were just looking around. He said, don't you know this is... The man said to David Gibbs, he said, I want you to know this is the guy with the vision that did this church. And I said, that's just not true. I'm not making this is not true. I had no vision. I'm not kidding. All I did was get out of bed every morning and go to work. So, whatever has happened here, God has done. All I've been, if nothing else, is I've just been faithful. and God has done the work, and if you knew what an intellectual midget I truly am, there is no chance. You have no idea how clueless I am. After today, out of this message, I will told you everything I know. I have to go back now and learn more things for next week. I don't know much. All I do is for 21 years now, I've gotten out of bed, and for today, I've served the Lord. It is required in stewards that a man be found faithful. Just be faithful. Say that with me. Just be faithful. And lastly, stewardship is a freeing job. It's a faithful job. It's a freeing job. You know why? Because all of this, it's not mine. Belongs to the Lord. That woman on the front pew, she's not mine. She belongs to the Lord. Those rotten kids I have, they're not mine. They belong to the Lord. You know? All of those things you don't understand. Here we are, a lot of people, pastors, leaders, poor leaders, micromanage. They think, oh boy, I got to make this right. I got to make this right. I got to make this right. If it's not right, it comes back on me and the buck stops here. And boy, people will just get so upset and I have to look good. And they're worried about their image and they're going and getting plastic surgery and this lifted and that tucked and all this stuff to make sure that they look good so that they can be impressive because it's all about them. And I'll tell you what, it's not about us, it's not about you, it's about the Lord, it's not about me. It's a freeing job. It's not my problem. You know what, church? You're not my problem. You're the Lord's problem. For every complaint that comes to me, I don't know those people, they're not my problem. They're the Lord's. There's something freeing when you understand this is not mine, it belongs to the Lord. I've got it, He wants it back, please take it. I'm here until I'm done. Just being faithful. I've wanted to be done many times. And the Lord hasn't said I can leave. I'm just here. You're just there. All we do is get out of bed in the morning and just serve the Lord. And you watch and see what He will do. And I'm telling you what, folks, this is a fun life. What are we talking about? Stewardship. All belongs to the Lord. It's His. Next time you're stingy with God's money, you know what? It's not yours. And if you're not faithful with it, He'll just take it from you. Give it to somebody who's got way more than you do. How do you like that? We are blessed. Amen? Trust Him. Serve Him. Be faithful. You cannot go wrong. Heavenly Father, thank You for Your spoiling us in this church. Unbelievable what You've done for us. We just want to say thank You. And Lord, now we always have an invitation. We give folks a chance to respond. Dollars and cents haven't really been talked about, but obviously they are implied. Everything is Yours. I pray that whatever talent You've given us, if we can sing, we ought to be singing. If we can clean, we ought to be cleaning. If we can rake, we ought to be raking. Lord, fill in the blank. If we can teach, if we can preach, if we can reach the lost, if we can give, Lord, help us to fill in the blank. Whatever resources that we have, I pray that they are increasing so that when we stand before You, we can hear, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Oh man, we won't deserve that, but it'll be so nice to hear. Lord, most of all, I pray that every person in this room at some point in their life has prayed, Lord Jesus, come into my heart and be my Savior. It all starts there.